This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thanks again, Tim. Now here for your Ag News on a Wednesday morning. The Department of Agriculture is out with its final rule on payment limits and definition of actively engaged in farming under the 2018 Farm Bill. The rule's being praised by a key advocate of payment limits. Senate Finance Chairman and Ag Committee member Chuck Grassley of Iowa pursued farm payment limits for years, getting language in House and Senate farm bills twice, only to see it ditched in conference negotiations. It happened again in 2018 after Grassley voted against the 2014 Farm Bill.
They aren't including it. And remember, I voted against it 2014 because how it's they obliterated the good language I got through both the House and Senate. This is even worse.
Grassley was referring to the 2018 bill possibly allowing nieces, nephews, and cousins of farm operators to get subsidies. But in its final rule out this week, USDA says these relatives must be actively engaged by providing either 25% of the total management hours required by the operation each year or at least 500 hours a year. Iowa Republican Grassley earlier rallied against the loophole that he charged undermined public support for farm payments.
This is how far out of control the waste of taxpayers' money has gone and the injustice that it does to the family farmers that have dirt under their fingernails and are entitled to some protection from the federal government.
Grassley says such help is needed after the kind of weather disaster that decimated his state's crops this month. He and Nebraska GOP Congressman Jeff Fortenberry appealed to the USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue to close the 2018 bill's actively engaged loophole. An earlier GAO study found it cost taxpayers $259 million before the bill was written. And a myriad of issues over the last 8 years has compounded farm stress, and the American Farm Bureau Federation says it's important for farmers to address the issue. AFB President Zippy Duvall says over the last 8 years, farmers have faced many stressors.
We went from a really good farm economy to one that started declining. We've got depressed prices, and then we have had natural disasters all over our country. Then we've had a trade war and the issues that went along with the trade war, and now we're trying to survive through a pandemic. So we describe what agriculture has been through in the last 8 years as the perfect storm.
Duvall recognizes that it is difficult for farmers to open up about stress.
Farmers are tough guys, and everybody looks to you to be the rock. It's just against our nature to talk about our feelings. Stigma that goes along with having stress and issues around stress is very strong in a rural community because there's not many people there, and when you try to find help, it seems like everybody knows, and that makes it very difficult for people to open up.
The American Farm Bureau, National Farmers Union, and Farm Credit have partnered with RFD-TV to produce a special program focusing on mental health.
We recognize the stress that they were going through, so we felt like it was important for us to do that. And we think it's been a great effort to talk to the farmers, let them know there's nothing wrong with sharing their feelings with somebody, and not just the person that's going through it, but their families and friends that might notice a loved one or a friend going through a difficult time. We just want to get rid of that stigma and be able to provide the resources to help people.
Rural America Live airs on RFD-TV Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. In ag news, as it relates to trade with China, China reaffirmed this week its commitments included in the Phase 1 trade deal. The pledge comes out of a conversation between U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer and a Chinese trade official, the first formal dialogue since early May, according to Reuters. In a statement following the call, Lighthizer says, quote, "Both sides see progress and are committed to taking the steps necessary to ensure the success of the agreement." The call was scheduled for August 15th, the six-month anniversary of the trade deal, but both sides offered conflicting statements about why the original call was canceled. China citing scheduling conflicts while President Trump claimed he canceled the meeting himself. China's pace of purchasing U.S. ag commodities is lagging from expectation, leaving some questioning if China will follow through. The U.S. Trade Representative statement continues, quote, "The parties also discussed the significant increase in purchases of U.S. products by China, as well as future actions needed to implement the agreement. In other national ag news, President Trump Monday announced an additional $1 billion for the Farmers to Families Food Box program. The announcement came the same day Trump secured the Republican nomination to run for another term. The Department of Agriculture announced the program earlier this year, along with $3 billion in funding to help farmers and consumers during the COVID-19 pandemic. Through the program, USDA purchases food from farmers, then local distributors pack and deliver the boxes to families in need. The White House announced that the number of food boxes distributed recently reached 70 million. Trump says, quote, altogether, we've delivered over $3 trillion in economic assistance to the American people, and the American farmer has done very well. Adding, quote, I never hear any complaints from the American farmer. Trump made those comments at the Flavor First Growers and Packers in Mills River, North Carolina, and was joined by Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. In other news, federal lawmakers from Iowa are estimating potential derecho losses at 725 million bushels of corn and nearly 153 million bushels of soybeans. The estimate was part of a letter sent to Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, recently requesting a secretarial disaster designation for 57 Iowa counties. The lawmakers say the severe storm swept through much of Iowa with sustained winds in excess of 100 miles an hour. Within the requested 57 counties, there are 8.2 million corn acres and 5.6 million soybean acres. Based on satellite imagery and preliminary storm reports, approximately 3.57 million acres of corn and 2.5 million acres of beans can be seen to be severely damaged, with millions more acres affected to varying degrees. Iowa producers have also suffered significant damage to homes, grain bins, barns, and other infrastructure critical to their farming operations and livelihoods. The lawmakers say, quote, it is critical that you grant this secretarial disaster designation that will make these producers eligible for resources that will help mitigate these significant losses. And moving on here on your Wednesday for our feature ag story, it comes from here in Illinois, and a matter of fact, right here in our WSMI listening area. There are many ways to measure the value of soybeans. Conventional thinking centers on bushels per acre, commodity price, and protein and oil content. But increasingly, farmers are looking at livestock feed value as a key indicator of soybean value, and with good reason. The majority of soybeans produced here in the U.S. go towards feeding livestock, as does a large share of soybeans sold into export markets. Austin Rinker of Mowiqua in Christian County is the Illinois Soybean Association director and says livestock feed value is an important consideration for soybean producers across the country.
It's a very important consideration. 70% of soybeans are going to be fed to livestock nationwide, so just a big part of what soybeans are, and livestock is our number one customer in the soybean industry.
Livestock feed value is determined by amino acid level. There are seven essential acids that drive animal growth and productivity, which in turn drive profitability for the livestock producer. However, Rinker says the amino acid content of soybeans has declined over the last 30 years.
So we look at the amino acid profile in soybeans, and that's the thing that nutritionalists are really looking at as they build these rations for livestock producers. And as we push yield in these soybeans, it seems like those amino acids are kind of going down. So actually, we kind of think we're been losing value in these soybeans.
Soybean inclusion in pig feed, for example, has dropped 70% since 1990. Use of soybean meal in swine rotations has plummeted from 635 pounds a ton of feed to just over 300 pounds today. On a global level, this reduced use of soybeans in livestock markets adds up to billions of dollars in lost market opportunity for soybeans, a market worth recapturing.
Well, I think in today's day and age, you know, we have lower prices, lower margins, and it's something that kind of really needs to be looked at as we go forward, because, you know, every dollar counts here right now in this farm economy.
The ISA's High Yield Plus Quality, or HY Plus Q program, helps soybean farmers address some of these economic concerns by improving the amino acid content of soybeans.
It's a really unique program. They're going through and testing lots of different varieties and putting together a really large data set and kind of seeing what varieties are just naturally higher in amino acids and what their amino acid profile looks like. They're really encouraging farmers in the fall. They give them a free complimentary testing kit, and they'll test those soybeans and show them how they're turning out and what the amino acid profile is of those beans.
The program has also developed a ranking system for soybean varieties that scores livestock feed value on a scale of 1 to 10, with a score of 10 representing the highest value. As a rule, Illinois Soybean Association recommends that producers choose soybean varieties that score 5 or above in livestock feed value. Soybean farmers can visit the ISA's HY Plus Q website at soyvalue.com, where they will find information to help them select varieties based on amino acid profiles and feed value scores. And another state ag news for your Wednesday. The harvest season will soon be underway, with farmers hauling corn and beans to the local elevator. Jeff Atkinson with the Grain and Feed Association of Illinois says there will be some new challenges this year due to the ongoing pandemic.
One thing that I would suggest is that producers and those delivering grain to the grain elevator, that you reach out ahead of time to find out what your local company policy may be. I know some that are basically saying, you know, we're not going to let you come into the office. We'll come out to you. Other ones that are in various stages of that. We are also sponsoring a webinar. We've got an attorney from a law firm that's done a number of presentations to chambers of commerce, Illinois Manufacturers Association, groups like that, to talk to our members and try to answer some of their questions that they may have about what they should do if there is a positive test, how they should handle that, what the best course of action is. You know, I've gotten questions along the lines of, well, if I've got somebody that's working outside, they tell me they've tested positive, they don't feel bad, if they're not working around anybody else, can they continue to work? questions like that that I don't have an answer for, and that I wouldn't try to answer that. That's what the legal people are there for. But I think it's really important for farmers, producers, anybody delivering grain this fall, to make sure you've reached out to the elevator to find out what their protocols are going to be, how they're going to handle it, whether you can come into the office or you can't come into the office, or how the scale tickets are being delivered, things like that. So there's a lot of different policies being put into place. And some are—they're going to be very fluid, just like any of the situations we're in throughout the state. Check with your elevator on that, and make sure that you do engage in safety and safe practices as you work through this harvest season.
The Grain and Feed Association represents more than 90% of the commercial grain storage space in the state of Illinois, where members include grain elevators and grain handling facilities, processors, feed mills, and companies who provide goods and services to the industry. Also, in other pre-harvest news, the Illinois Harvest Permit will again be available for farmers hauling grain this fall. The permit is from the State Department of Transportation, according to Illinois Farm Bureau's Mark Gebhardts.
Just a reminder to folks out here that starting September 1st and running through December 31st, the Illinois Harvest Season Permit will again be available through the Illinois Department of Transportation. That permit allows farmers that are hauling ag commodities to run 10% over the legal registered gross axle weight of the truck on state highways. But you have to get the permit, okay? And so you also have to get a permit through your local township or county road authority if you're going to operate on those roads in their jurisdiction as well. So I would encourage folks, if they want to get that permit, that can begin on September 1st through Illinois Department of Transportation.
You can find out more info on the permit by going online to ilfb.org and typing Illinois Harvest Permit into the search box. And finally, in state ag news, if you've been keeping score of Illinois weather during this month of August, there's been a derecho, followed by a heat wave, and now remnants of a tropical storm heading our way. Laura is now declared a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico and is expected to make landfall Thursday in the Gulf Coast region. Southern Illinois could be impacted from the system this weekend with some heavy rain, according to state climatologist Trent Ford.
Looking at the latest seven-day precipitation forecast from the National Weather Service, which is mostly driven by Laura in southern Illinois, it looks like right now they're looking at anywhere between 2 and in some cases 4 inches of rain from Laura. But with these tropical systems, if they move just a couple hundred miles north or south, that can vary quite a bit depending on where those rain bands are. So with that being said, it's likely that we will see rain from Laura south of I-64. And again, how heavy that rain is really depends on where that low pressure system goes. Anywhere north of I-64, it's pretty questionable at this point whether or not we'll see significant rain from Laura, and anything north of I-70, really don't want to hold our breath for any significant rainfall, at least from Laura. At the same time, we have a cold front coming through this weekend that will hopefully produce some rain for that area, but most of the tropical system rain will probably stay south of I-64.
The low-pressure remnants from Laura will likely be over the southern tip of Illinois sometime late Friday into early Saturday morning. And moving on to local ag news here for your Wednesday, don't forget that tomorrow, Thursday morning, will be the last Dairy Box food distribution at the Carlinville Plaza just west of Billy's Furniture. Again, to recap that, there will be half gallons of milk along with full gallons of milk in a variety Dairy Box. That Dairy Box will also include other dairy items like cottage cheese and cream cheese. And the event will be held again tomorrow, Thursday, from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. in the Carlinville Plaza. And that'll conclude your Ag News here for a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Wednesday morning, August 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.